Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Let's turn in our Bibles, Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to catch up to where we were 2 weeks ago. And it reads like this: walk in obedience. Somebody say obedience. To all. Man, that word all changes things. Not to some, not to just Sundays and Wednesdays. Be obedient to all the Lord your God has commanded you. When I was younger, I would go to churches and they would have me come up and just say a word at a conference or whatever. And my go-to word was always this. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. That is not a suggestion, it's a command. And we've got to start treating the word of God like it's a command and not a suggestion. It says, God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Everybody in the room, just declare, I am walking with God. Now ask your neighbor or two neighbors as you're being seated, ask them, are you walking with God? Praise God. You may be seated. Walking with God, church, it requires obedience. I was listening to one of my peers here in the city this morning as I was getting ready for church. And can I just encourage you, one of the best ways for you to get ready for church is to listen to worship music and to listen to sermons. Not Post Malone on the way to church. Not Jelly Roll unless it's hard-fought hallelujah. None of this trap music. You say, well, it's just the beat. Now, you need some word, praise God. So I was listening to some word as I was getting myself ready and my mind right, my spirit right. And one of my peers here in the city said this. He said, life begins, talking about John 10 and 10. Life begins with belief, but abundance begins. Because remember, he said life and life in abundance. Life begins at belief, but abundance begins at obedience. And so as quick as we are obedient, that is how we see the abundance of God's hand in our life. Walking with God requires obedience, and obedience is not a journey. Obedience is a journey. It's not a one-time step or a one-time act. I think a lot of us are guilty about claiming a loyalty and obedience to God on a Sunday because we get emotional. Maybe it's not even emotional. Maybe the Spirit does shift something in us on Sunday morning and we make these declarations in an altar at our seat or maybe even online. God, I'm going to be obedient, just to find out that Monday life gets tough. And it's not just a statement or an act on Sunday or an act when we are extremely motivated, but it is a journey. Eugene Patterson said, discipleship is long obedience in the same direction. When we hear walk in obedience, it signifies a daily decision, not just something that we check off. It is not forced obedience. Forced obedience would be considered an oxymoron because once you have forced obedience, it is not obedience. It is compliance, but not obedience. And I think that we should be compliant with the word of God, but however, no one can force you, because if you have been forced, they have robbed you of free will. And if you don't have free will, then it can't be a step of faith. Free will is what makes faith amazing, because you had a choice whether to wake up and come to the house of God this morning, and you made the right choice. You and I have the choice tomorrow when all things are not looking great, or we get bad news tomorrow by a phone call, text, or email, or something happens in our life. We have the free will choice that I'm going to follow God through this, and I'm going to walk with God through this valley, or I'm going to run the other way. It's not forced obedience, but rather chosen obedience. When we look back to our original text in verse 33, it says, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you. And when you do all that God is commanding you to do, he said, there are three things that happen. He says, you will, praise God, live and prosper. When we look at that word live, it's not just the act of breathing. Because there's a lot of people who die, but then they're buried 20 years later. Meaning they quit living life. because of things that happen or because of depression or because of the enemy's hand. But I want to encourage you, don't go to an early grave because it looks like what God promised is going to happen is not going to happen. And so he says, you may live and prosper. I like that word prosper because that's where we get our word prosperity. But can I just remind you, church, that God wants to bless you, and that blessing is more than just a bank account. God wants to add to your life. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants your body to prosper. He wants your relationships to prosper. Prosper means wealth. It means riches. And riches simply means this, that you have more than you need. Aren't you tired, or weren't you tired before you met Jesus, of always just having just enough, or maybe not enough? But when you stepped into Jesus and began to obey all of his commands, he said, now you have stepped into abundance. I thought I'd get a better amen right there when we talk about abundance. Aren't you glad that you have more joy than you need, more peace than you need? You know, one of the reasons I'm glad I have more than I need, because if I have more than I need, it means I have enough to give away to somebody that God plants me in front of, or plants them in front of me, to live and prosper. And he says, and I love this, and he will prolong, live, prosper, and prolong. And we found out when God prolongs our life, it is not just about lifespan, is where we left off last session. It is about legacy. I'm walking with God because I have two children that I want to walk with God. I'm walking with God because I have future grandchildren and great-grandchildren that I want to walk with God. I'm walking with God because I'm leading a church that I want people not to just feel community, but I want people to learn what it means to walk with God. And you've watched my family long enough now, over the last 50 years and even over the last few years, to see us walk through cancer and not give up, to walk through heart attacks and not give up, to walk through all of the craziness that life can throw at you. And so it's not just about living a long life. It's about all the life that is behind me, that we are trailblazing. Remember, we are pioneers. We will take the bullets. We will take the arrows. We will take the fight so that those that come behind us don't have to fight what we fight, but they get to possess, praise God, what God has called them to possess. Somebody say, I'm walking with God. God's word commands us, not suggestions, commands. And those commands are not roadblocks, but they are guardrails. It is not to restrict life, but it is to protect the life he's given us, but also to bless and to open our lives up to so much more. Prolonging those days, not just about lifespan, but about legacy. Your obedience may bless, and I believe it will bless, generations that come after you. How powerful that walk can be. Just think, if Jesus doesn't come back for another millennium, if there's another 1,000 years that somehow this earth is going to stay together, there are generations of people that you will never meet here on earth, but because of what you pioneer, praise God, by walking with God, they're going to meet you on streets of gold and say, hey, your great, great, great grandchildren led me to Christ at school, or your great, great granddaughter was leading worship or preached a message where I got saved. Can I just tell somebody today that you walking with God, it is all about you, but it is so much more. There is more to your future and more to your life than just you. It is everything that comes behind you. But the Bible tells us a lot about how we walk and the way we walk. And so we're going to talk some about those walks today. And if we have time, we'll get through three of these today. The first walk I want to talk about is walking in agreement. How many of you have good friends? Raise your hand. Not a lot of hands have gone up. And that's not even a bad thing. I'd rather you have no friends than bad friends. How many of you have a good friend, a best friend, just somebody that you can count on? Now let me say that. How many of you have a God friend? Like God put them in your life to encourage you, to challenge you, to call you out on your ridiculousness. I've got two or three men in my life that still, they will message me and they'll say, what are you doing? And even as a 43-year-old husband, father, and pastor, I still bristle up. Like, what are you doing? But I know it comes from a place of love. And I know it comes into a place of, I'm holding you accountable because we agree on this Jesus thing. and how you're living now is not in agreement with what God has said. And listen, your friends that are God-given have to check you when you get out of alignment with God's will and out of agreement with Him, because the only reason they're walking with you is because you're in agreement with Him and they're in agreement with Him. And when you and I get out of agreement, what they're saying is, you better check yourself, because I can't walk with you if you don't walk with Him. Here's something I'm learning, church. Can I be transparent with you? I'm learning that the friends I have today will not be my friends forever. But I've also learned in 43 years, the enemies I have today will not always be my enemies. There are people who have done me so wrong in the last 43 years, but that was 25 years ago, and I've lived long enough for them to apologize to me and me apologize to them and us collaborate and do things together. And so I am here to tell you my agreement with you and your agreement with me. So listen, I'm so grateful that you are here at Living Way Church. And if this is your home church, it is still mind-blowing that you would call me pastor. I am so grateful for that. But I give you not only permission, but I believe God gives you permission that if I am ever get to a place where I am not in agreement with Him, He will either replace me or take you somewhere else. That's how powerful agreement has to be. Let's go to the Word of God. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Some of y'all just put it in your app because you didn't even know there was an Amos in the Bible. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And if you don't, that's all right. You're in the right church. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? What a simple, profound, some of you are like, that's not revelation. If it's not revelatory, if it's so easy, then why is it so hard to do? I have found that the easiest things that God has told us to do are the hardest to actually walk out. The Bible says this: do not be unequally yoked. Because when you yoke yourself, number one, being yoked together is even more important than the direction you're walking, because walking is just walking. Yoking is working. And there's a lot of us that we have tied ourselves to the wrong people. And we are no longer walking with God, and we want to blame everything else, when at the end of the day, it was you and it was I who made a decision on who we were going to yoke ourselves to and who we were going to allow on our journey. I don't know about you, but when you go on vacation, you better be careful who you invite. Because just because you can stand them at a movie or an hour and a half lunch does not mean you can leave the city limits, the county, or the zip code for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days and still think that you like them. Just because you had a great phone call does not mean you need to do life with them. That's why I'm usually, and I know there's people that are exceptions to the rule. If you're an exception to the rule, God bless you. But that's why I'm usually not in favor of you met somebody on eHarmony or where singles meet or ebony.com and you had a great email back and forth for a couple weeks, or you had a great 4-hour conversation and 6 weeks later you are engaged. You better check yourself. You're attracted to them. But you need to look beyond them and see the direction that they are walking. When you are choosing, let's not even talking about dating relationship. When you are talking about friends, because unequally yoked doesn't even, we're not even talking. The Bible does not make a distinction when it says unequally yoked with unbelievers as a dating or courting or marital relationship. It's talking about anybody that you are connected to. So let's talk about your friends. Let's talk about who you're going to lunch with at work. Let's talk about who you're entering business with. The last thing I want to do is enter business with somebody who's not a tither, not a giver, and not a follower of God. Why? Because now I'm yoking and walking a direction with somebody who in their mind is under, not under their mind, in God's mind, they are living under a curse. I don't care how many billions you've made. I don't want to connect some myself to somebody who is not walking with God. How can two people walk together if they're not walking in the same direction? It is so important for us to be able to find people that we agree with on, not politically, but we agree with them, praise God, when it comes to the things of God which matters most. Because if you walk with God correctly, your politics will line up with the word of God. If you walk with God correctly, your finances will align with the word of God. If you walk with God correctly, your theology will align with the word of God. If you walk, come on somebody. So we have to make sure that we're walking with God in agreement so that when we find somebody who agrees with God the same way that we do, the spirit in us says, there's your new BFF. There's somebody you need to pursue a relationship with. So I want us to take inventory over the last few minutes of this message, and maybe today when you are watching Netflix, you can start going through your contact list and looking at that contact list. And you listen, every name in that contact list, there is something that jumps out about them when you see their name. Good, bad, or indifferent. There are names in my phone in the business world that every time I see that name, I think of a business deal that was very, very good. I have great thoughts. Then there are other people who, bad business, that I still have their contact number in my phone, not because I want to talk to them, but to know which call to avoid when it pops up. Same in life. Are you walking in agreement with someone who is living a disagreeable life with the word of God and the plan of God? Remember, you love everybody, you minister to everybody, but you're not supposed to be in relationship with everybody. And I have learned that the hard way. There are some people that are going to heaven that I don't need to be in relationship with here on earth. When we both get perfected in heaven, we can be BFFs there, but it's not going to work down here. And I and you have to be smart enough, and we have to be discerning enough to say, I love that they go to my church, but I'm not going to lunch with them. They look fine, but I'm not going to date them. Okay, we'll keep going. Walking with God requires us to align with His will and to align, and requires alignment with His will, and to align His will, you must first align with His character. To walk with God, you have to know God. And once you know God, you're going to begin to start acting like God. It's an amazing testimony when you don't have to testify about the change, but people tell you, since you gave your life to Christ, you're different. Talked to a gentleman on Wednesday night right here after church, and he was saying, man, I've got some atheist friends that have seen the change in me, and I'm posting about church, and I'm posting scripture, and I'm talking about the goodness of God in my life. I've got atheist friends that are beginning to take notice, and they're not mocking him. They're asking questions. Why? Because he has aligned with the character of God. And once he is aligned with the character of God, first you've got to align yourself with his character before your feet will ever align with his feet. You cannot stay. This is what Henry Blackaby said. He said, you cannot stay where you are and go with God. I love that. You can't stay where you are and go with God. You're going to have to choose. And to go with God, you have to be in agreement with God. Walk in agreement takes focus. Three focuses. Focus, number one, on surrendering our will for God's will. There is not a lot of people going to heaven that are mad about going to heaven. Let that sink in. Meaning this, that God, I've sacrificed my will here so that I can live your will here and your will there. So focusing on surrendering, focusing on throwing your hands and taking your hands off the wheel of your life and saying, all right, God, now I want you to walk and lead me. Second focus is focus on confessing God's way and not our way. We used to do a big Easter production here at Living Way called I Give You Jesus. Any I Give You Jesus fans, y'all remember that. All of the people cheering are those that came and watched us. You didn't practice with us for 4 months and give your life for 4 months. It was exciting. It was fun for that time. But I remember this would have been in 1993. I was 11 years old, and I played the part of 12-year-old Jesus. And I remember, I can still almost quote those lines verbatim where Jesus is teaching the lawyers and the temples and some of the Pharisees and stuff in the temple. And Jesus said this, and he was quoting Isaiah. He said, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. I've thought about that. That was when I was 11 years old. I'm 43 today. For 32 years, I've thought about that probably at least every other week. And I believe God reminds me of that in my spirit to let me know, Brandon, my way is not your way. And your way is not my way. And I think different than you do. And I see different than you do. Brandon, all you can see is June 1st of 2025. He said, I can see June 1st of 2085. And not only can I see it, I'm already standing there. So when I walk with you and I tell you to walk with me a certain way in June of 2025, I am not telling you a command and asking for blind obedience to me, hoping that it turns out right. I am a God that is standing 50 years into your future. And now I am requiring obedience of you right now because I know the step you need to take on June 1st that is going to get you close to where I've called you to be. I know the decision you need to make on June 2nd that is going to get you closer than you need to be. So when God tells you something that you don't understand, that should not terrify you. It should excite you that God is speaking to me about my future, but he is requiring something of me today. Can I talk to the front row, to the back row, to online today? God has been speaking to you in your time of prayer. God has tapped you and woken you up in the middle of the night. And what he is saying has frustrated you. And I know what that's like because I've been frustrated before. But what God is telling me, God, it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense in June 1st, but it will make sense. I just need you to obey me. I just need you to be in agreement with me. I just need you to focus and declare it's not your way. It's God's way. It's not your way. It's God's way. The third focus, focusing on the covenant that we made with God. Just got a few moments left this morning. Focusing on the covenant that we've made with God. How many of you have been married? Let me preface this. How many of you have been married to the same person for 10 years? I know a lot of you have accumulative years in marriage. Look at all these hands. Praise God. I don't know, you put them, I don't know if you can say this. I'll say this for me. I can't speak for everybody. But when Mandy and I have had disagreements in our marriage, our love for one another is greater than the disagreement. That's awesome, right? But she's done things that I don't like. And I've done one or two. Million that she doesn't like. And our love for one another, and let me just be honest, and I'm speaking for me, I'm not even speaking for her now. In those moments when I don't like her or what she's doing, you say, well, it's love that wins. It is love that wins because God is love. But you know what ultimately wins? The covenant that I made. Not with her, with God, and then her. That it wasn't an empty word that I stood at the FLC on February 15th of 2003 and said, for better or worse, sickness and health, till death do us part. I wasn't just speaking to her. I was speaking to him. And the covenant that I made with God has made it even when I didn't want to take that step and walk. Even when it was tough and my foot was heavy and I didn't want to walk that journey. Even when I had to walk the walk of apologizing and asking for forgiveness. Even when I had to do things and say things that I didn't think I was in the wrong, but I knew it wasn't me, it wasn't her. There was a covenant that we made and we are going to make this work no matter what. We made it to God. We made it with each other. But I am reminded of the covenant. That is why when David stood here and said, I'm planted here and this is where I am, we're not going anywhere. He might have looked back at me. He's saying, Pastor, are you hearing what I'm saying? But what he was really saying is, I've heard from God. Me and Judy have heard from God. Gia has heard from God. This is where God has planted me. We are in covenant. We're in agreement. We're in agreement. We're in agreement. We're in agreement. I don't want to get to the next one because I want to take some time there. We're in agreement. Bishop and I, he's 76, 43. A lot more experience, a lot less experience. Father, son, bishop, pastor, we have a great relationship. But we disagree on many things. But we've never left the office disagreeing. Because he walks with God. And I walk with God. Because he's in agreement with the calling of Living Way. I'm in agreement with the calling of Living Way. We are in agreement and in covenant with God himself. So whatever we are going through here, it is water under the bridge when we keep the covenant in our focus. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Years ago, it's been years now, it was before the kids really, I guess, really started school. Maybe they were in school. But every day, myself, Mandy, my brother, my parents, my kids, this was BA before Alyssa, so there was the seven of us. We would go to lunch every weekday, Monday through Friday together, the seven of us. We don't do that anymore just because we're all older and we've got jobs and tasks that take us. But we would all pile at the time my dad had a Navigator. We'd all pile in that Navigator. And we were all hungry. How many of you have ever been hungry with other people? And Pastor Becky would be driving a lot of times and we'd all pile in that Navigator and we'd drive to the end of the parking lot. And from their garage to the end of the gate back here, Pastor Becky would say, where are we going to eat? Now remember, we're all hungry. And everybody would start saying, well, doesn't matter to me. Anyone who says it doesn't matter to them, it matters to them. And so Pastor Becky just got into the habit of, she popped it in park. We're not going anywhere until we know where we're going. And I think of how many times have we not been in agreement? We're hungry. We need it. And we get in the car with God and God is trying to take us somewhere. But because we're not in agreement, we're in park. God, I want to move forward. No, you don't. Because you're not in agreement. You say it doesn't matter, but the first time I ask you to submit, you complain about it. You say, God, I'll go wherever you want to go. Are you sure about that? Because I went to a cross before I went to the grave resurrected and before I went to the upper room. So it's time that we shift into not just drive, but some of us need to shift into overdrive. But it matters, are you walking in agreement? I don't need to know what direction you're walking. I need to know which direction is God walking. And are you willing to walk his direction? Stand on your feet. I don't know where I said it recently. I probably said it here, so you're going to hear it again. But I'm not a huge fan of the commercials where you don't really know where it's going at the end. It's about Jesus and it says, he gets us. If you like him, cool, that's cool. There's no theology in those. It is actually creating a theology or an ideology among people who are hurt, church hurt by the world. And they think like, God gets me, that's cool. Then I'm fine just like I am. If I can raise, not if, when I raise enough money, I'm going to start my own campaign. And it's going to ask, do you get Jesus? Do you get him? I don't care if he gets me. I know that. What takes me to heaven is not him getting me, it's me getting him. Walking with God does not take him getting me. It takes me getting him. One of the elders in my life, I was sitting in his office. This was when I was in high school. He stood here before a few months ago. And he said, Fender. And you know how those elders talk. It's just like, sonny boy. Just like, they're just talking down to you like you're just a little kid. And he got them glasses. Fender. He said, your friends are like elevators. They're taking you up. They're taking you down. But you'll never stay the same. And now that I'm 43, 25 years later, I know what he was talking about. Who are you in agreement with? Who are you walking with? And here's the thing, church. I know you have struggles with who you're in agreement with and who you're walking with, because I still do. Some of the funniest and the people that I love to spend time with the most in my life are the worst for my development as a believer. Let me say that again. Some of the people that I love to spend time, I mean, I laugh so hard, I don't even need Faith and Fitness. I have my own ab workout just spending time with them. They just, I mean, just enjoyable. But when I leave, I feel empty, don't feel quite as strong. And what my spirit is saying is that I'm not in agreement with them. I'm not in agreement with what they're saying and what they're doing. So this is the choice that we have to make. We have to quit walking with them many times to walk with him. So here's the altar appeal today. Who are you walking with? Who are you agreeing with? And what is it doing to your relationship with God? If you feel like, man, Pastor, I want to strengthen my relationship and my walk with God, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to join us in this altar. I believe this is your moment. I'm proud of you, Mark. I love you, man. See new faces. You say, well, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. I've been doing my own thing. Welcome to the club. We all struggle with walking in agreement with God. Walking every day in the direction that he's going. So here's the thing. You're not up here to admit your mistakes to us. That's why I never got about the Catholic Church. Is why would you want to go talk to a man in a box who's doing worse things than you're doing and confessing to him? And I love you as a Catholic, just like I love anybody else. But I'm telling you, you confessing to me, I'm an imperfect person. I can pray for you. I can encourage you. But there is only one high priest, and his name is Jesus. My goal is not to get you to confess to me. My goal is to get you to have a Jesus conversation in the next 120 seconds. My goal for you is that you have an about face in your life and say, I've been walking in disagreement with God and agreement with men, but this is the day that I change and I change the direction of my life. If you're in this altar, I want you to lift both hands. I believe that God is beginning to speak. God is beginning to move. Our pastoral team is quickly coming and adding their faith. I'm going to ask our prayer team. Miss Ramona, if you can come help us pray. Angie and Rexy, come help us pray. Talia, Alyssa, come help us pray. Kevin Green, Brother Kevin, Sister Tanya, Sister Judy, Miss Jennifer, come help us pray. Sister Clementina, come help us pray. Sean, go ahead and start laying hands on these. Chavez family, lay your hands on them. That's just a point of contact. It's just another voice saying, hey, get in agreement today. I don't know what brought you to this altar, church. I'm gonna lay the microphone down in just a second, but I don't know what brought you to this altar. I don't know if there's things that you've been doing that have been disagreeable to walking with God. I don't know if there's thoughts that you've been wrestling with that are contrary to what God is saying and what God is doing, but I do know this, in this moment, this is your North Star moment. This is your compass moment. I'm gonna find out which direction Jesus is walking. I'm gonna find out where he is and I'm gonna walk to him. I'm gonna run to him, but I'm gonna start walking with him in the name of Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your moment. We encourage you to walk an aisle and say yes to Jesus. If you've never been baptized in water, right here, right now, today would be an incredible day to make that happen. If you wanna be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive that gift, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, if you need healing in your body, if you need deliverance, this is your moment. If you need restoration, maybe you're just saying, I'm tired of running. And there is a tiredness that comes with running away from Jesus. Turn around and walk with him in Jesus' name.